Everyone's so busy keeping up. Forget about the Joneses. We all on our telephones with the texts and the tweets and the beats. What he said, she said, can't even follow the thread. Down the hole, we all go. Me, I like keeping up too, with my Corona and my attitude. That's La Vida Masfina.
Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What are the Twins going to do with this bullpen? I'm seeing some parallels to 2019. Let's get the views of Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal III here on Chin Music, our baseball show at Talk North. Highly entertaining, very intense series between the Twins and Cleveland. And during that series, the Twins bullpen had some problems, at least in the first two games. Do you guys view this as a crisis or just something that needs to be figured out as they muddle through the schedule? Let's start with Lavelle on this one.
I think it's near crisis. This is something we were worried about going into the season, but we did not know at the time that until, you know, spring training that they planned on giving Yoan Duran a look as a end of game guy. And, you know, I ended up being a masterstroke because he has emerged as a force at the back end of that bullpen, which was sorely needed, especially when they traded Taylor Ward Rogers to San Diego in a trade that probably should never have happened for a damaged pitcher who re-injured himself. But they still seem a little short. Jorge Alcala injury looms very large because now you're looking at Alcala and Pagan taking turns, maybe setting up for Duran or whatever. And once again, if you don't make the Padres trade, you would have Rogers instead of Pagan, which I think would have been an upgrade. So some of this is the Twins' own doing. I think it's pretty marvelous what they've done with Griffin Jacks to get some mileage out of him. Stashak's injured again. Duffy's a shell of his former self. That's got to be a problem. That's problematic. They tried Trevor McGill, throws hard. He got injured. So some things, some of this has been self-inflicted. Others things have been, you know, decline in Duffy and some injuries. It tells me that, you know, once trade season gets here, I still think they should be on the hunt for a starter and also a quality reliever for that the bullpen to help things along. I think Pagan is useful, but it's hard to consistently put him in high leverage situations. And I don't know what to do with Duffy. It seems like whenever he throws a quality pitch, it's getting hit hard. I know he's trying some different things here, but getting a reliever, that's got to be high on the Twins' wish list here before the deadline.
Yeah, I think that's right. When you the first two games against Cleveland, reminiscent of the game they gave away to the Yankees, and from a player standpoint, I mean. So here come the Yankees into your ballpark. Here comes Cleveland playing like, you know, playing great baseball. And starting pitchers pitch decent enough to win because the offense is great, right? They're playing really good team. They're playing the best teams in the American League, two of the best teams in the American League, contenders, you know, division title. And they play them not only head to head; they beat them up, you know, offensively, and then can't finish off the game. So that gets to where it affects players. And I'm starting to get a sense around the ballpark that they're in Lavelle's camp. From a player standpoint, we gotta have some pitching here, and they're going to be on the hunt, to use Lavelle's phrase, by the trade deadline to get at least one. Really, I mean, ideally you get a starter and two relievers, right? I mean, that's probably what they need. The problem is that pitching is hard to get. Nobody want if you got pitching, you keep it, you know, for the most part. And but you know, there may be something out there that would you know, that will help. And I think they got it. They have to be looking for it. Alcala's injury is really hurt. That really set him back. I mean, the Taylor Rogers trade, notwithstanding, with the emergence of Duran, and it had Alcala and McGill, you know, not been hurt. All of a sudden, you might have something here to finish off the off games. So, unfortunate injuries, but as a result, they got to do something.
They do. And I will remind people that in 2019, that looked like the ultimate bullpen crisis, and they blew up their entire bullpen in July, and they ended up getting it done, at least in the regular season. So it's not that it can't be done. It's not like a crisis that can't be solved. It's just that they probably need at least one more good arm to settle things down on the back end. This is Chin Music, part of TalkNorth.com. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thank you to Corona, the official import beer sponsor of the Minnesota Twins and the presenting sponsor of the Chin Music Show at TalkNorth.com. Thanks also to Perfect Ash. If you'd like to advertise with the show or the network as we continue to grow, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. And let's get to the easy second guess of the week, or at least I don't know even if it's the easy second guess. It was the most popular second guess of the week. And that is Pagan comes in on Tuesday. Or I'm sorry, I'm getting my days mixed up. Pagan comes in on Wednesday following a bad outing on Tuesday, strikes out the side, then goes back out and gets lit up. Now, it's easy after the fact to say, how can you send him back out? I didn't see anybody saying, oh, he just struck out the side, you better not send him out again. But what did you guys think of Rocco's usage? I'm sorry, I'm choking up here a little bit. What did you guys think of Rocco's usage of Pagan this week? Let's start with Roy.
I think it's easy to say that you can't send him back out there. But if you look at it from the manager's standpoint, who's he going to use there? You're not going to use Duran. He had thrown 20-some pitches the night before. You absolutely are not going to use him. And who else do you have out there to close the ball game? And given the players that were coming up for Cleveland in the night, and your guy has just struck out, the side and has a great fastball. He's throwing 97, even one was 98, or a couple maybe. And so, but Rocco's in a predicament because who are you going to use? I mean, the only people that you feel like can really close out a game are Duran and Pagan. You can use Thielbar, as he did in the game yesterday. He's got Pagan striking out the side, but he also knows that, you know, Pagan's thrown a lot of pitches 2 days in a row. What do I do? You know, I mean, you can. If he had Pagan strikes out the side, throwing 97 miles an hour, and he runs Thielbar out there or somebody else, and the roof falls in, he's going to get second guessed to death as well. So I mean, I think it's more of an indication of the need for another arm or two in the bullpen than it is, you know, what that decision really meant.
You know, my problem with that is, first of all, Jarrell Cotton should not even be on the team. I call him Sir Slop a lot because of the propensity for the breaking balls he throws out there. But I'm also going to start calling him the equalizer because when he enters a game, the other team is about to start a rally because it's happened like two or three times here in the last couple of weeks. The Twins were leading the Yankees, and Cotton came in and gave up two home runs. And helped ignite the Yankees rally. That was in the third game of that series, the one that the Twins should have won. They were up 7-3. That's right. And Cotton came in, gave up two bombs. It was 7-5. And Yankees got fired up and came back and won. Cotton came in on Wednesday, gave up three runs before Pagan got into the game. And as we saw in Thursday's game, when Rocco was nervous about having Duran throw, you know, 30 pitches twice in a 3-day span. You know, we do have to remember that they had to shut Duran down last year with forearm problems, and there was a worry there that he was going to need like Tommy John surgery, which they avoided. So I'm guessing that's in the back of their minds as well. So, you know, yes, Pagan's got to get people out there. It's unfortunate that he couldn't do it, get it done in the second inning of relief. But my issue is the fact that Jarrell Cotton's even on this roster, and he once again came back into the game and fueled a rally for the other team.
I will say he's had bad moments. His ERA is 3.31. Last year's ERA was 3.52. I just think he's a major league middle reliever, and those are the guys who are going to have to be used sometimes, and occasionally get hit hard. I mean, I'm not making a grand defense of him here. I'm just saying that I don't think he's their biggest problem. They just need more good arms at the end, so they don't have to use Cotton toward the end of these games. You brought up the other interesting second guess. I'm sitting there in the press box on Thursday afternoon, and he goes out to get Duran. And this is where, you know, whether it's Rocco or any other major league manager, I almost just feel for the manager in that moment. He's going out to take out his best pitcher with a game on the line that he can't really afford to lose, or at least feels like he can't afford to lose. We're still in June here. And he knows that everybody in the ballpark is going to hate him for it. And everybody in front of the press box standing up, waving their arms, screaming at Rocco. But you can't get Duran hurt in June. You just can't. No. And as much as everybody wants them to win every game, and you buy the tickets and you watch the game and you're invested in the game, you expect them to try to win that game, you can't get Duran hurt in June.
And it was a calculated move by Rocco, because I think Stephen Kwan was on the bench, and they had another left-handed hitter on the bench. So Theo Parra's appearance there thwarted Francona's ability to fire out at least one really talented left-handed hitter, and maybe two. So, you know, he picked a spot to be booed, but it worked out.
Yeah, I actually said that on the broadcast yesterday. When Duran went back out there for the ninth, Kwan is, you know, is lurking, getting ready to hit. And so he gets Rocco had really, I mean, he did a good job of matching up and forcing Francona to make a move or not make a move. You had to live with that. Jim, you're absolutely right. You cannot let Duran get hurt. You can't have him throw 50 pitches in the two of the 3 days there in that series. And so, as I said on the broadcast, Rocco's got the pitch count in mind, Duran's pitch count. And if he sends him back out there for the first out against a right-hand hitter, then he forces, he gets an out, he forces Francona to bring the left-hander, Kwan in this case, and now he can go to Thielbar. So when he goes to Thielbar, there's a right-hander on deck, and Rocco's saying, okay, I'm okay with Thielbar pitching to, I think it was Clement, it was Miles Straw. I'm sorry. I'm okay with Thielbar pitching to, whoever the right-handed hitter was. I don't remember. But I'm not okay with Duran facing Kwan when Duran has thrown too many pitches. He got the second out from Thielbar and the right-hander. Now Kwan comes up, and Thielbar left on left pitches great. So I think under this situation, given the scenario, I think, and you can't overstate how much a part of that scenario was the number of pitches that Duran had thrown in the series. I mean, in that scenario, I think Rocco played really, really well. He's going to get absolutely eviscerated if Thielbar doesn't do the job. And you know, it's one of those things that your manager's got to do what he thinks is right and live with it. And And I'm just glad it turned out well for him, because I think it was the right decision.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Let's get to more second guessing and second guessing of the second guessing. But first, let's remind you that Corona is the official import beer sponsor of the Minnesota Twins and the presenting sponsor of the Chin Music Show here at TalkNorth.com. We've added Dave Lee of WCZO fame. I don't know if it's out yet, but I recorded an episode with Dave Lee about it. He's doing a series called My First Concert as a way to just talk about music, culture, and fun stuff. I chipped in on that. Check that out. We have Mike Grimm. We have Cheryl Reeve. We have the Pross Brothers now, the Pross Box. We now have 4 hockey shows on the network, tons of outdoor content. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com. And now, Lavelle, tell us about Perfect Ash.
You know, Invergrove Heights is becoming the home of celebrities. And I'm not talking about myself. I mean, there's Kirk Cousins.
Yes, you are.
There's Justin Jefferson. And there's Patrick O'Brien. You're like, who in the hell is Patrick O'Brien? Well, Patrick O'Brien is the owner of Perfect Ash. Cigars and Pipes, located in Invergrove Heights, not far from the Invergrove Brewery. He has over 340 different models of cigars. It's a fantastic lounge. You can sit there with fellow cigar smokers and have a puff and have a smoke while you're watching sporting events on television. So check out the Perfect Ash. Wholeheartedly recommended by myself. I was there yesterday, picked up a Fuente Double Chateau Maduro. It was absolutely delicious. That is the Perfect Ash, located in Invergrove Heights, Minnesota.
All right. Let's talk. We could talk about the bullpen all day. I think we've pretty much established they're going to have to, they're probably going to trade for somebody to fix this, unless Alcala and Duffy both suddenly. By the way, Lavelle, how far out is Alcala?
He keeps getting pushed back, man. And I don't know if he's going to pitch again this year. It's going to be problematic with him. I know he went on an injury list and he had a setback. And I think he's still dealing with that setback. So it doesn't look good for his return right now.
And Roy, what do you think of Tyler Duffy's prospects at this point? Because, you know, he could solve a lot of problems if he started pitching at his best. Do you see that in his near future?
The thing that troubles me about Duffy is the relative to when he was actually a force in the bullpen a few years ago. I mean, he was throwing 95, 96. It's kind of like the ascension of Griffin Jacks, right? He's a starter at 92 miles an hour, occasionally 94. Now he comes in throwing 95, 96, and it makes a difference. Back in the day, Duffy went from a starter with a good curve, 92 mile an hour, try to sink it fastball, and a couple of good speeds of curveball, and did not do well as a starter. They put him in the bullpen, told him to throw the ball hard. Here, throw 4 seamers, not 2 seamers. Throw the ball hard, and then use your curveball. And he was really good for a season. And the problem I have is that velocity is kind of gone. I mean, he's not throwing anywhere close to the fastball life that he had when he was successful. The other thing is he's not pinpoint with the breaking ball like he was. What I liked about him when he first came up was that he had 2 speeds of breaking ball. It was a big one and then a bigger, slower one. And we're not seeing command of different speed and trajectory of breaking ball either. So I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I know they're working on some things. And I mean, they worked on things before, got him throwing harder and he was effective. So I don't know if there's another let's work on this kind of thing that's going to overcome the fact that he doesn't have the same fastball. It really hasn't for 2 years now.
You know, yeah. The thing is that he just seems discombobulated there. And I know for a fact that the Twins are scratching their heads about when could they ever use this guy. You know, they can't. They're nervous about putting him in any sort of leverage situation. They rarely get blown out, so he can't come in and work on some things. He's trying to work in more changeups now. That's something he hasn't thrown since 2019. He did not throw a changeup in 2020 or 2021. Now he's back to throwing changeups, just trying to give a different look there. His velocity definitely is down. He was averaging 94 miles an hour with that heater back in 2019, and that's down like a mile and a half now. So, and the average fastball in Major League Baseball now is at 94. You know, so now he's throwing below average fastballs. He's not locating his curveball, and he's trying to trick a couple people with this changeup that he's trying to mix in. He is searching for answers, and it sucks when you are trying to search for answers on the major league level and can't use game experience to try to work your way through it. So I think the Twins have no choice. I think the way we're talking, we're suggesting that maybe they should cut Duffy loose here. But one, is there a better option available right now? No, I don't think so. Maybe Akla suddenly getting healthy would save the day. But you know, until they're able to, and look how many players from St. Paul they've tried. They tried Wamanaya. They've tried the lefty Miranda. They tried the kid from Cuba. They came Yenny Acuña. They tried to give him a shot, you know, and and those guys have stuff, but it's not working in the major league level. So I think they have no choice but to try to ride this out with Duffy until they make a trade, or all of a sudden someone from St. Paul miraculously, you know, ups their game to where they have no choice but to use them.
Yeah, I'm not advocating dumping Duffy. I would like to see them try to fix him. Of course, if it doesn't work, then you have to move on to other options. But I certainly don't see any reason not to try to, you know, rehab the guy and get him going, because the good thing is, you know, he can do it, and he's pitched in pressure situations. He's pitched in pennant races. He's a good dude. I would love to see them get him back on his feet here. I'm getting subliminal messages from Roy Smalley. Let's talk about hitting. Let's talk more about hitting. So let's talk about a little bit of hitting here. we started the season before the season. I think we were all in agreement that Kirilloff could be a real key, you know, a potential high impact left-handed bat in the middle of a bunch of right-handed hitters. I think we might be back there where, hey, Kirilloff might be a key to this lineup. Let's start with Roy.
They definitely need him to be the kind of hitter in the big leagues that he has been his whole life through every level he's ever played. It very important piece in this in the Twins lineup, in my opinion. I'd like to see Max Kepler swinging it better. I'd like to see Trevor Larnach swinging it better. From a mechanic standpoint, Kirilloff, if he gets back to who he is, I think he's got bigger upside, more immediately than Larnach does. The only reason I say that is Larnach's going through a streak right now where his swing's long, and he's got that kind of swing. He's a big, strong guy. His swing tends to be the same launch angle kind of swing, whereas Kirilloff, this is a funny, subtle, hard to explain phenomenon with hitters at any level, but in the big leagues in this case, where you see a lot of hitters, their swing path is their swing path against just about any pitch wherever it's located. And then you get guys like Kirilloff who swing to hit the ball. In other words, their hands work to deliver the big end of the bat on plane with where the pitch is, and on time with where the pitch is. And if you can imagine, you know, Larnach, you know, coming from underneath just a little bit, and the longer swing versus Kirilloff, who's a little more directly right at the ball with and as hitters talk about keeping the big end of the bat through the zone a longer time. Obviously, the best possible example of swinging to hit the ball with the big end, no matter where it is and what it is and what trajectory and what speed and all that, is Luis Arraez. I mean, he swings to hit the ball. He doesn't swing hoping that his swing path will you know, be on time and online, on plane with the with the pitch. Kirilloff doesn't have that, but he's closer to that kind of mechanics than Larnach is. And I'm still hopeful that Larnach will be a good major league hitter because he's got a lot of talent. There's a lot of strength there. There's a lot of long ball in that, and a lot of high exit velocity in that young man. But my suspicion is from an accomplished now standpoint, Kirilloff, now that his wrist is better, he seems to be healthy and getting back toward his original self. I think he's ahead, and they desperately need him to be, you know, to be what he's always been.
Yes, it was sitting in the press box this week and watching Kirilloff swing. He looks like a different player. He's swinging with more murderous intentions. He looks confident. Looks like he has a plan there. And I think he's scoring up balls and shooting them around the field again. And this is the Kirilloff I think the Twins have been waiting for. And, you know, the last time we saw him, he looked unsure of himself. And he looked like a guy who was still trying to see how his wrist was going to respond to playing every day. And maybe he was unsure of himself. And maybe he needed to go to St. Paul and work through some things to become sure of himself, because he surely looks like he's a threat at the plate right now. And that's a significant development for the Twins as, you know, they deal with the daily up and down if Byron's going to play or not, and currently have to go without Jorge Polanco, who's been their most durable player. They're going to need some offense to stem the tide here. And it looks like Kirilloff is definitely in position to do that. So whatever happened in St. Paul, you know, ended up being the best thing for him, because he looks like you can rely on him for some offense now. And moving forward, that's going to be a big key here going through the second half as the Twins, you know, nurse Buxton through this knee thing and wait for Polanco to return.
Two big picture thoughts here to wrap up the show. First of all, thank you to Perfect Ash. Thank you to Corona. Thank you to Brandon Morton, our longtime producer. And thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com. Check out the website. Check out all the other shows. We do appreciate it. Number one, very big picture here. If baseball is a game of second guessing, it's a game of complaining. Let's be honest. It's like the weather. It's always there, and you can always complain about it. You know, they should have won 2 out of 3 against Cleveland. They probably should have won 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. I just am at a point in my life and in my career where I just appreciate a competitive baseball team. I appreciate that the games mean this much, even in June. It was a blast to watch 3 highly competitive games, regardless of outcome, this week. And my other big picture thought here is Luis Arraez is becoming one of my favorite Twins of all time. Obviously, the hitting, the artistry of the hitting, but also the attitude, the joy, the competitiveness. I just love everything about this guy. And Roy, take on either or both of those.
Well, I could talk about Arraez all day long. Actually, on Sunday, we're going to feature an interview that I did with him on the field talking about hitting. It actually turned out really well. It's going to be run on Bally Sports in the pregame show before Sunday's game. But I'm just going to reinforce what you said. Baseball doesn't get any more fun than the 3 games against Cleveland. I mean, that was great. I mean, it was heart wrenching for them to lose the first 2 games that they coulda, shoulda won. But gosh, that's great. That's Major League Baseball, and I really got a kick out of that. It was fun to be the analyst in the booth for those 3 games. I'll tell you that.
Lavelle,
I agree with you, Jim. I see this team definitely competing. They've played good teams well. They battled against Cleveland in these 3 games. They battled against the Yankees. They took 2 out of 3 against Toronto. So they haven't looked overmatched against anybody to this point. And, you know, I'm still dreaming of the stretch here when we can have, you know, Buxton, Arias, Polanco, Correa, and now Kirilloff, you know, swinging together in the same batting order. That's going to put pressure on an opposing pitching staffs going forward. So there's a lot to look forward to here with this squad here, especially as they get into some meaty divisional matchups. They got, you know, five games against Cleveland next week, and then they have six more against the White Sox coming up. My only concern here is if this Buxton management program is actually working, because I've had patella tendonitis before. It sucks. And if Buxton's dealing that right now, you know, I'm tend to wonder, why don't we just put him on the injured list? And so Dr. Neal has determined that after the Twins play the White Sox on July 8th, he should be placed on the injured list. That takes him 10 days into the All-Star break, and then through the All-Star break, he'll have 2 weeks off before they resume the schedule on July 23rd against the Tigers. And maybe during that those 2 weeks, he could just stay off that knee. Even if he gets voted into the All-Star game, he should not play. Maybe show up for their dinner or whatever they have, and just take his ass home and just focus on resting that knee to see if he can be ready out of the gate for the second half to help the Twins, you know, forge ahead in this race for the division title.
Well, I mean, I'll just say that, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Twins people about how they're managing Bucks and what they're dealing with, what's really going on with his knee. And I mean, the whole plan has been to keep them away from the injured list. Now, I do like your idea. Maybe if he's still hurting, and obviously he's hurting, he missed two games against Cleveland.
Right.
And it's flared up on him again. It was actually better than expected for about 3-4 weeks there. And all of a sudden it turned and he showed up on Wednesday and it wasn't as good. But I mean, the real hope here is to manage it, you know, put out the fire when the fire increases, try to get him where he can play 2 out of 3 games in almost every series, take advantage of the times when he feels good. But the idea of resting him around the All-Star break does make some sense to me. That would be a good use of time. All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks to Lavelle. Thanks to Roy. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. One of the things I want to talk about with Roy next week is Jefferson Sanchez. Are those two capable of providing a lot of offense at catcher? Is that going to happen this year? Jefferson has been a little bit better lately. Sanchez obviously has the talent. And we're going to keep talking about the bullpen. So thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com. Thanks to Perfect Dash. Thanks to Corona. We'll talk to you next week.